Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're talking about the dwelling place of God. You are the dwelling place of God, the temple of the living God. The Holy Spirit dwells in all those who are baptized into Christ. And over the last week and a half, we've been talking about the Eucharist, and the Eucharist being that special gathering place, the source and summit of our faith, in which the reality of what God has accomplished in us, in Jesus, and giving us His Holy Spirit, and making us a dwelling place of God, and uniting us to the Lord who's at the right hand of the Father, and to our Father in heaven, and giving this the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in us, and the Spirit crying out, Abba, Father. And as we listen, as we surrender to the grace and movement of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Spirit begins to cry out in us. And like St. Paul says in Romans, that, you know, from the Spirit of God dwelling in us speaks to our spirit, revealing to us an amazing, astounding, the most amazing reality we will ever know and encounter is that we are children of God, that God is our Father, that the Creator of the universe, of everything, wants you and me to come into relationship with Him. And of all the ways a creature could be related to the Almighty Creator of all things, who's so awesome and so transcendent and so beyond, He wants us to know Him as a Father and to literally be our Father and for us to be His children. And He's revealed it all to us in the gift of His Son, Jesus, who is the eternally begotten Son of God. He came forth from the Father, the Spirit, the Son, a communion of persons in love. And Jesus is the eternal Son who's been sent to us, given to us by the Father, who took on human flesh so that He could reveal what sonship looks like, what it means to be a child of God. He reveals to us in His ministry, in His preaching, in His life, and will show forth forever the glory of His sonship, the majesty, the beauty of His relationship with God the Father, the absolute freedom, joy, love, interchange of offering and receiving. It's all there. And Jesus came to draw you and me into that reality. That's the most important thing in your life. No matter what else is happening right now, no matter how high on the top of the mountain you might be, what you might be accomplishing and doing that, by the way, might be exactly what God's calling you to do, not making any judgment on it, or no matter what you might be suffering, how much difficulty and struggle you're in, and everything in between, no matter where you are, what state in life, what moment you're living through right now, high or low, the most significant thing in your life is that you're a child of God, made so by the death, resurrection, ascension into glory of Jesus at the right hand of the Father, taking in His own person. He's the new Adam. And He entered the Father's presence, having been totally obedient to the Father. And where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. The pride, as I said yesterday, that brought down and broke humanity's relationship with God was healed and elevated and exalted in the humility and the person of Jesus. And we share in that grace and that gift through the power of the Holy Spirit that He could pour out in obedience to the Father. The Spirit comes forth in the Father and the Son, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that makes us a new creation, that animates us, that gives us new power to become something we could never, ever be on our own power and our own resource. We could never earn it. It's a gift from God. What we know now is that our lives are of eternal value. They're just spectacularly valuable and important, every single one of us. No matter whether you're listening, you're in a jail cell today, or you're on a sick bed, or you're the President of the United States, or whatever, human value, true dignity, comes from knowing that God himself values us, that God himself loves us. God loves us. He made us. And for that reason alone, we have a value that's beyond compare. It's not something we create or something that we have to manufacture or we have to stir up in ourselves or we have to convince ourselves of. It's something we receive. It's a gift. Our dignity, our identity, our security, our value, it all comes from recognizing who we actually are, where we came from, knowing God, our creator, knowing we're made by God, we're loved by God, infinitely loved by God, so perfectly demonstrated in Jesus, and then receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit that literally unites us in the most spectacular way in relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Eucharist, as I said last week, is the source and the summit of our faith, as the church teaches. It's a constant teaching to us. It's meant to form us individually and corporately. It creates a culture. What's a culture? It's the way of life of a people. And that, you know, the part of the word culture is cult. It's what we worship. We become what we worship. We become what we surrender our hearts to, what we pursue, what we put first in our lives. And what we're saying as Catholics, as Christians, we're saying, here is the defining center, the nuclear core of who we are. It's revealed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his uniting us to the Father in the sacrament, which reveals who we are, what God's plan is. And we bend our knee. First, we confess our sins because we know we're not worthy. And we know that we've fallen short, and we receive his forgiveness and his cleansing, and he just obliterates all condemnation, unnecessary self-condemnation, the rest, and he brings us into his presence, and he himself purifies us, and he feeds us, and he keeps drawing us deeper and deeper if we're attentive, if we come with our hearts in the right place, if we understand what's happening there. And it's not difficult to understand some of these dimensions that are there. It's in the scripture, it's in the catechism. Just reading the section, the catechism on the Eucharist can be very helpful. But guess what? Jesus said he would send the Spirit, which now dwells in you, to teach you all the truth that Jesus gave to the apostles. And as the church proclaims it in the reading, and as it's made present in the offering of Jesus in the Eucharist, there's an exchange going on between heaven and earth that's very, very profound. You can actually sleep through it, which sometimes people do. But if we come alert, ready, hungry, thirsty, humble, receptive, Jesus will teach us day after day after day, who are you? Why are you here? What have I done for you? What's your destiny? What does it mean to follow me? What does it mean to be a child of God? What's the mission that I've given to you? All of that will be revealed, and it's meant to be internalized. We just have to keep saying yes to it and seeking it. And Jesus said, if you seek it, you'll find it. If you knock, the door is going to be open. At the heart of it is one of the great lessons there, obviously, is the humility of Jesus, who is the eternally begotten Son of God and humbled himself and became one of us. There's a beautiful passage, which I know you've all heard at one time or another in your life, from Philippians chapter 2. Talks about imitating Christ's humility and what he's done for us. I just want to read it and then reflect on a couple of verses. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. So Paul's teaching, he's exhorting, he's saying, look, the incentives of love, the participation we share in the Holy Spirit, the affection that's present, what's it all meant to be? Where's it all meant to go? And what would me as your pastor, what would bring me joy, Paul says, is that if we would be of the same mind, we would live together with renewed minds. We would value what God values. We would put first things first. And then he goes on to say, do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourself. So the one mind is back away from, say no to, reject the temptation inside to be filled with selfishness, me first, I need people's attention, I need my voice to be heard, I need others to serve me. It's about me, me, me. Or conceit, I'm better than other people, I'm slightly above the herd, or I'm way above the herd, and I just really need to live in that reality. I need to live with the beautiful people, separate ourselves from the deplorables or whatever, you know, that kind of human instinct, the fallen instinct that I'm better. Something's better about me than other people. Do nothing out of selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. That's an interesting verse. In humility, count others better than yourselves. What does that mean? That you're no good and they're good, that they're above you and all that? No, what it essentially means is, humility is that you see who you are before God, who God made you to be. And your value comes from God and what God has given to you. And living in the truth of who you are in God is essentially what humility is all about. It's not to pretend that you're something less than you are. It's, you know, one of the challenges that, one of the temptations that we often face is to be preoccupied with ourselves. You know, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking less about ourselves, is one way it's been described as well. St. Augustine said this about Christ's humility, which is so beautiful. He said, the way to Christ is first through humility, second through humility, and third through humility. It's such a key foundation. It's revealed. That's why Paul is calling us to it. And he says, it was pride that changed angels into devils, and it's humility that makes men as angels. Thomas Aquinas said, humility means seeing ourselves as God sees us, knowing every good we have comes from Him as a pure gift. I'm not the source of it. So Paul is exhorting us to walk in the humility that Jesus walked in, and to count others better than yourselves, meaning that they're worthy of service, that they're worthy of the second commandment, that you wash their feet like Jesus washed the feet of others. You're not elevated beyond, and these are untouchables here. I just don't want to be with those kinds of people. Every single human being, by virtue of made in the image and likeness of God, is worthy of our service and our love. So he says, have this mind among yourselves was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, one of the ways to understand that is his divine dignity was not something he used for his own selfish purposes, or he seized and put out in front of everybody and expected everybody to be preoccupied with his power. But instead what it says is he emptied himself. The word there is kenosis, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He condescended out of obedience to the Father. And this verse 8 is beautiful. It says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's so much there we're going to take up tomorrow. But friends, the key thing is here, Jesus' humility was expressed in obedience even to the point of death. And he did it in service for you and for the glory of God the Father. That's the mind St. Paul wants us to have as those who are baptized into Christ and walk in his Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.